Come on, Chris. Preach it. Light it up, bro.
Amen. Come on, bro. It is so good to be with you guys. Brittany's going to hand a little pass out here, a handout. And we'll talk about it a little bit later in the lesson. But it is just awesome to get to worship with you. I bring you greetings from the church in Los Angeles, from the City of Angels, but also from our winter workshop and from the church leaders that came in from all over the globe. It was an incredible time, and if you weren't able to go, do you guys know about the live stream?
Yeah.
Some, how many of you watched the live stream or the recording of it? Okay. You got to do me a favor.
Okay.
Go home tonight. Don't do it now on your phones.
Oh.
But go home tonight and go to the City of Angels website, and the first thing you'll see is the live stream of the service on Sunday. And you can click there and go to the website where you've got two options. One of them is the sermon, and one of them is the good news sharing that happened from all over. But both of them capture the fellowship before and all the way to the fellowship after.
Come on.
Wow. And it really is like HD quality.
Yep.
So, and if you didn't know you were getting recorded, you better watch out, because now you're live.
Okay.
And so I'm watching some certain sisters talk to certain brothers. I'm like, I should have said that. Monica Vasquez in Paris, saying, "We see you in Paris." They were calling from Moscow. Wow. People stayed up through the middle of the night to watch the live stream and be there at the same time we were worshiping.
That's so cool.
And so, truly, this gospel is being proclaimed all over the world through the technology that God has given us. So, please go and check that out. I think you'll be super encouraged. The title of the workshop Mike's chosen is For God's Honor. And truly, the scripture was already referred to tonight in John 15, but you did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last.
Right.
And this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit.
Amen.
From what we are here to do, everything we do is to bring glory to God.
Amen.
In the last year, unquestionably, 2013 was our best year in L.A. yet.
Wow.
Because we know God has greater plans. In L.A., last January, we had our Bring Your Neighbor Day, which we're gearing up for 26th of this month. But we had a record attendance of 1,377 at the Bring Your Neighbor Day.
Wow.
Even more encouraging is we're now averaging 1,100 every Sunday at church.
Wow.
So if you watch the live stream, at the very end, Lou Jack got up and was singing the glory song.
Yeah. Come on, Lou Jack.
And it was incredible. When you see it, you see 1,000 people there worshiping as it pans the crowd. But right up on the stage was the team being sent out to Santa Barbara that day to start the church. The team being sent out to start the Palm Desert, Desert Cities sector from the Riverside group that day. And you just saw Lou Jack and you see everybody huddled around and singing about the kingdom. And I was standing there and I was looking at Elena, I was looking at Corey. And I was feeling some things, honestly, I haven't felt since the glory days of the old movement. There was a sense as those words were sung. From 30 came 300, then 3,000. Yeah. Boston, New York, Paris, London.
Yeah.
There was a sense. When Lou Jack sang, United we stood, but divided we fell. As Satan unleashed the hounds of hell. And that we do not want to be an institution of men, but we've got to be the kingdom of our God again. And of course, my favorite, the end. Someday in heaven, we'll all gather around the throne of our God and we'll all bow down. And we'll say the world was evangelized in our day.
Amen.
The night after the conference ended last Sunday, we got back to our room super late. I think in my third of four appointments, I lost my voice. Right after my time with Mike, my voice was gone. Nothing about it, just it happened to be gone. And I turned on the TV just to relax a little bit. You know what I saw on TV? Joel Osteen. With a whole basketball stadium full of people. And what's his message?
Things.
Nothing.
Right.
Positive mental attitude.
Yeah.
You gotta reach deep to build high. You look at our live stream. Let me tell you, it is night and day.
Yeah.
There is substance. There is message. There is truth. Yes, there are the challenges we all face and the things Satan has unleashed in our lives that God allowed him to, because God knows we're not tempted more than we can bear.
Right.
But there is the victory and the unity and the sacrifice of a movement. And where our old movement is just putting up contemporary Christian songs and letting the band play, and when you scan the audience, everybody looks like they're a zombie.
Yeah.
We sing with our hearts to God.
Come on, brother.
Come on.
And we sing about something. And we go live our lives with that same passion.
Come on, God's fire.
Are you guys with me?
Yeah. Come on, bro.
And so to see Sydney go out at our Christmas service and just to hear what you shared tonight, Sandra, that's awesome. To know that in a month or two, Toronto, Canada's going out.
Wow.
In the summer, Dallas is going to go out. And I was thrilled to be there and preach in Eileen Mangus's living room with my mom and dad present the Sunday right after Christmas. That Dallas Remnant group is an incredible group right there. And I even ate wild boar shot by Pedro Jr. The senior showed me the video. I'm like, turn that off and give me more food. I don't want to see that. But then later in the year, God willing, we're going to see Moscow go out. Already, there's a remnant group of around 50 disciples gathering in Moscow, Russia.
Come on.
And so when the team goes out in December, it's going to be something awesome. Just seeing all the remnant disciples that are joining us. I can't imagine who's going to join us this year.
Right.
Truly, it's going to be exciting.
Come on, bro.
And yet, there are going to be mountains to climb.
Yeah.
So in L.A., our theme this year is the year of prayer. The year of prayer. It is our goal, as we've restored the New Testament convictions about so many things, the Bible convictions about so many things, it is time that we decide in L.A. to restore the dependence upon prayer that we read about in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
I know for me, when I don't, when I'm depending on my own power, I'm sure to fail.
Yeah.
I'm sure to fail.
Come on, bro. Yep. Let's keep it real.
It's been 2,000 years since the world was evangelized in a generation. The only way that was accomplished was through the Spirit working through the apostles' prayers. Therefore, the goal we're focusing on more than any other goal, and I know Mike and Brittany are going to have some great goals for the San Francisco church tomorrow.
Come on.
But all our goals start with one very simple thing. Our relationship with God.
Right.
Come on.
If our relationship with God is not in place, there's just nothing to build on. A lot of people can turn over a new leaf in their life. New Year's resolutions galore right now, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people can lose weight, get in shape, get a better job, get discipline in their studies, turn over a new leaf. That doesn't mean we do it for God's honor.
Yeah.
So change alone is not enough.
Right.
It's got to be for the honor of God. The title of my lesson tonight comes from a lesson that Andrew Smellie did after the conference was over, just last Tuesday for our staff meeting in L.A. And the title is, Discipline That Comes From Devotion. Discipline, which is the root word of disciple. Amen, guys?
Yes.
Does that define you? Amen.
Come on, bro. Convict me, bro.
But not just discipline for discipline's sake, but discipline that comes from devotion. Let's go to Psalm 5. In Psalm 5, verse 1, we read a Psalm of David. It says, Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation.
Come on.
So you see that David was disciplined.
Yeah.
How do we know? Because he was praying in the morning, not the afternoon. Amen, brothers.
Come on, bro. Convict me, bro.
David was disciplined. He was up in the morning, but it wasn't just for discipline's sake. He was praying to his God. He had things on his heart. I don't know what defines 2013 for you. If it was great joy, or as David said, consider my sighing. Some of you may feel great about last year. Some of you may feel, wow, that was a tough year right there.
Yep.
So even in a tough year, you can feel great about it.
Right.
If you don't feel great about it, if you're not at peace yet going into this year, you haven't learned what God's trying to teach you yet.
That's right.
Hebrews says, you know, all hardship is discipline, chapter 12. God is treating you as true sons. So, let's say last year was a hard year. But can you say concretely, here's what the Lord was teaching me last year?
Come on, bro.
Until you can, it's just all emotions. Oh, it's tough year, so hard. Oh, poor me.
Yeah.
But we can go, but here's what God showed me. Here's what I learned. I'm never doing this again. I'm not going to confuse that again. And this is what I needed to learn. You're at peace.
That's right.
And that was a difficult year well spent to prepare you for something great this year. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
And probably nobody's here going, all of last year was great or all of last year was horrible. We probably had a roller coaster ride at different times. But so I'm going to call you. Take some time, if you haven't already, and go, what did I learn? What has God better equipped me for going into this year? And then you can get your goals and put them at God's feet every morning.
Amen.
And wait in expectation.
Amen,
amen, guys?
Amen.
Go to Mark chapter 1.
Come on.
Awesome. I'll show you another scripture you're very familiar with.
Okay.
In Mark 1, in verse 35, we'll see how Jesus was in his discipline. Very early. Oh boy, Jesus wasn't just early. He was very early.
Amen.
That's the Lord. That's a higher calling right there. Amen?
Amen. Come on.
Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Again, we saw it with David. Now we see it with Jesus. An incredible discipline. Let me just ask right now, what time do you get up in the morning? And before you brag, if it's so you can get to work early in the morning, that's not what I'm talking about.
Come on.
Talk about it.
But do you think backwards? For example, I got to be at work at this time. That means I better get up at this time so I can brush my teeth, Oh, and I better get up if I'm gonna floss. I better shave. And I better have a great quiet.
There we go.
Do you think backwards? Giving yourself the time you need to be disciplined because of your devotion to God. Because you love God so much, you're not going to dare start a day and get yourself ready physically, but walk out with a big hunk of spiritual broccoli hanging out of your spiritual teeth. And your spiritual hair all over the place. Because you didn't get yourself ready spiritually for the day.
Amen.
There's a quote by S.D. Gordon. I'll read it to you.
All right.
The great people of the earth today are people who pray. I don't mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor those who explain prayer. But I mean those who actually take time to pray.
Amen. Come on.
They have not time. It must be taken from something else.
Right.
Wow. That something else is important.
Yep.
Very important. Pressing. But still less important and pressing than prayer.
Wow.
Come on.
There are people who put prayer first and group other items in life's schedule around and after prayer. These are the people today who are doing the most for God in winning souls, solving problems, awakening churches, supplying both men and money for mission fields, in keeping fresh and strong their lives far off in sacrificial service on the foreign field, where the thickest fighting is going on, and in keeping this old earth sweet a little while longer. Where's prayer in your priority? Maybe you're like, oh my gosh, I'm convicted. Because you're feeling pretty disciplined. You've really changed a few things. But where's prayer? Where's God in it? Are we just now, I want to be a disciplined man. I've really conquered the demons in my life through my power. Are we disconnected from God?
Come on, bro. Preach it.
Point number one. Very simply. Devotion. Go to Psalm 63. It all starts with our relationship with God.
Yep. Come on.
Maybe you're like me, and certain parts of the day are more pitfall than others. Where, you know, certain parts of the day, Satan's just going to get you. You got to attack those times in the day. Right. Maybe it's in the morning. You know, if you don't get up and decide, God's coming first. God's going to come first before I do anything else.
Yeah.
If I don't put those things in place, I'll get distracted.
Right.
I'll see a message on the phone. I'll see a text with a problem already that someone needs help solving. And I'll start working on that before I've spent time with God. And I'll give my heart and try to get it done, but it's just draining.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for it.
Right.
So I've got to set myself up to win.
Yep.
The other thing that I found myself doing on my trip to Dallas was just spending more time, not just in prayer. Teresa and I were able to take a couple of really awesome prayer walks just when all the Christmas stuff got crazy. We'll go for a walk. Let's go for a walk. And let's have time in prayer. But it was singing to God.
Wow.
Singing to God. And the songbook's a great place to go for devotional time.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a songbook with me, but there's a song that we used to sing all the time in Syracuse and even in Chicago. And that's Father. Do you guys sing that one here? It's a call and response. Father,
Father,
take my hand,
take my hand.
Father,
Father,
hold my hand,
hold my hand.
You died
died for me.
And you always want.
Always want.
Me to be.
Me to be.
Close to you.
Close to you.
And you say, Father, take my life. Father, use my life. Father, take my soul. Father, save my soul. And I just started singing, Father, take my kids. You know, save my kids. I pray about things in my marriage. I pray about things in my discipline. I pray about things in the church. But I just did it in the song. But it just kind of soothes your soul. That's what melodies do, don't they?
Yeah.
And that's what when we're called to sing to God in praise, that's what it is. Have you had a time in prayer lately where you just soothed your soul to be praying? The other one is all I have to do is pray about anxiety and I'm less anxious. So, search my heart, O Lord, know my anxious thoughts. And I go, amen. You know, find any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Just saying it just takes it away.
Right.
The other one that does that for me is James 2. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Okay. You know, is that a typo? No, it's soothing. I have so many trials, consider it joy. And for some reason, just saying it allows me to.
Come on.
It's the power of the devotion to God.
Right.
Knowing that God will take it away. And there really is a peace that comes. Right? Philippians.
Yeah.
Not be anxious about anything. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Don't be anxious about anything. But with prayer and petition, put your request before God. And the peace of God will transcend all understanding and guard your heart and your mind. If you don't feel guarded, if you don't feel protected, if you don't feel that peace, you haven't prayed enough. You haven't prayed enough. And it's not that you're going to pray until the answer comes, but you're going to pray until you know God has the answer. And that He'll bring it about or He'll reveal it to you in its proper time. Is that the peace you feel? If not, point number one's for you. You're not devoted enough to God. You might be Galatians 3, you foolish San Franciscans.
Come on.
Now trying to attain your goal by human effort, as if, you know, it was worth it, you know. But by the Spirit is where you got it. David knew this, and that's why in Psalm 63, in verse 1, we read this. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Is that how you feel? In your relationship with God? Are you intimate and are you passionate in your relationship with God, like David was, even in the desert?
Come on, bro.
When he was physically thirsty. But that's how he felt spiritually. He just thirsted for God. He loved to sing praise to God. He loved to lie down and think about God. And I have a question. Would you pray to God, even if you knew you weren't going to get anything you asked for?
Come on, bro.
Or are you just talking to God because you want something? Would you just pray to Him because you love Him?
Come on.
Just because you want to talk to Him. Just to be close to Him. Or is it about something? Always in desperation. You know what I mean? We've got to have that time to spend with God. Just because we love Him.
Amen.
Just because we're grateful. Just because you died for me and you always want me to be close to you.
Right.
Father.
Yeah.
That's our prayer. When we have a relationship with God like that, that devotion, it'll change our character.
Yeah.
It'll
yeah.
change our heart. Yeah. And then, what comes out of the heart, it'll be pleasing. Yeah. And it'll be awesome.
Come on, bro.
Awesome.
Come on.
If you want this kind of devotion, how are you going to achieve it? Well, it's catch 22. You got to be disciplined. So it's the discipline that comes from devotion, but sometimes you just got to be disciplined to get that kind of devotion. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So point number two is discipline. Again, it's the root word of disciple. It's where we get the word, and you can't be one without it. You can't be a disciple without discipline.
Right.
But without devotion, discipline comes to nothing more than an empty ritual that has no faith and does not activate the power of God.
Well, come on.
One of the brothers so many of you from Chicago know is Carl Buckner.
Yeah.
Of course, you had his brother Cornell here with you until you sent him to Denver.
Sure did.
Carl has a song he raps that he rapped at the Winter Workshop. It's called Power.
Woo. Yep.
And one of my favorite lines is, he raps, you gotta take, you know, Brittany loves to do those raps. You gotta take it straight to the source, and after that, you pump power like extension cords. Thank you very much. So you gotta take it straight to the source, you gotta plug in, and after that, you pump power like an extension cord. And I go, that is so awesome. So we're just a bunch of extension cords coming from God, pumping power into earth.
Come on, bro.
So look at all the cords San Francisco's got. They got a lot of power right here.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
But not if you don't plug in.
Yep, that's true.
Come on, bro. Preach it. Light it up, bro.
You ever do that? You like turn on the coffee maker in the morning?
Yeah.
You know, like I'm sure Lisa Fells does. Why is this not working? Anthony! It's not working!
Here's Anthony. Plug it in.
The truth is spoken.
And here goes Justin. I'll plug it in! I'll plug it in! I won't do Juliana or the new dog I hear you have. Wow. I totally persecuted my dog a year ago.
Zing.
Singer.
Oh, we gotta catch up, my friend. But you gotta plug in, or there's no power to pump.
Right. Come on, bro.
It's just not there, so we've gotta be disciplined.
Yeah.
Gotta be disciplined. I love Daniel. Daniel, of course, prayed three times a day.
Wow.
You know? So you get up in the morning and you pray, and of course you pray before you go to bed. But you ever hit that afternoon where it's like, oh man, I'm feeling sluggish?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the answer is not the 5-hour energy drink.
Come on, Mishkini.
Right.
The answer is more prayer.
All right.
It's more prayer. Maybe some of you, you're going to take that challenge.
Oh,
and you're just going to spend that afternoon time in prayer. You read it in the book of Acts, in Acts 3, the disciples had a time had that time of prayer. It was at the time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. You've read that throughout the scriptures. And that afternoon time, when you start feeling sluggish, go on a prayer walk. However you want to do it, just get some time to plug back in. And charge the battery. Maybe you're like my cell phone. Battery dies every couple hours. You just got to plug it back in. Get more going. There's a handout you should have. It's called the Possible with God Prayer Challenge. This is how I pray throughout the day. And it's easy. If yours isn't in color, but if you look at the first letter of every sentence, it's P-O-S-S-I-B-L-E, possible. Now there's, I don't spell with, I just put W, so it's shorthand, and then G-O-D, so possible, but God. But you get the point. You get the point. Now, I did it that way because it's 12 things, so 5 minutes on each one, and I prayed for an hour. But, you know, whatever inspires you, you can come up with your own. For me, though, I love this because it keeps me in the scriptures. And I'm trying to put together something that covers everything I need to be disciplined about throughout the day. So, what do I start with? Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Psalm 103. I just take some time to praise God. Amen. I may sing, I may just say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Amen. Hallelujah. I may just praise Him. Sometimes I pick more popular songs and sing to Him. But I'm going to do that tonight.
Oh, come on, bro.
Y'all can do your own. Oh. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Psalm 119. I pray about the word. I pray about the time I'm going to spend in my Bible study. God, help me see things. Help me have insights. Help me love your word. And you just meditate on it all day long. And then I go from praising God to reading His word to what? Now it's time to get into my heart. Search me, O God. Know my heart.
Come on, bro.
Test me and know my...
Come on,
anxious
brother.
Thoughts. Anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139. So I pray about my sin.
Come on.
That's where I pray about my sin. My anxieties. Or those offensive things.
Yeah.
Say, God, show me what is offensive in me.
Yeah.
Help me to love what you love and hate what you hate.
Come on.
Come on.
Have that time of prayer. It'll change things. Uh-huh. Now I've dealt with me. So what do?
Come on, bro.
See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Hebrews 3. So I pray about my brothers or my sisters, that I may see, man, their heart's getting hard. They're becoming unfaithful, unbelieving. You guys do know that's where the sin comes from, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's when we're not faithful.
Right.
How come in the Old Testament they were not able to enter the Promised Land, but spent 40 years in the desert and died?
No faith.
Unbelief.
No faith.
Unbelief. That's it. It wasn't rocket science.
Yep.
God said, go in there, fight those big people, take their land from them, and that's the land I promised you.
Amen.
And they said, I don't want to do it. I'm afraid. Those are big people. They're going to kill me. No.
Big groups.
I mean, we make our problems today like they're rocket science.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those people didn't want to die physically, so they wouldn't go take the land. They didn't believe. We today are afraid financially, or afraid of, you know, going around the world ourselves, or sending people we love around the world, and so we're afraid how it's going to affect our life. So we say no, and it's our faithless.
Wow!
Come on,
it's not rocket science. And which one would you prefer? Someone with a big sword trying to put it through your gut? Or a little increase in contribution call? You get it. You get it. But it really is our faith. It really is, do we believe? And so, when we see each other not believing, we've got, what do we got to do? We beat each other up. No, we encourage each other.
That's right, bro.
We got to encourage each other and strengthen each other. And you know what? Here's what's cool. Maybe at 20 minutes in the morning, there's the first four letters. You pray in the morning. Then in the afternoon, pray. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you'll have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ.
Come on.
And you pray about sharing your faith.
Come on, bro.
And then guess what? Do it. So in the part about your, you know, see that no one gets a sinful, unbelieving heart, if you think of somebody, write them down and call them right after. So not only are you praying, but it's going to activate what you do during the day.
Yeah.
B. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, speech, knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see also you excel in the grace of giving. Pray about your contribution. I want to call you to pray for it every day. Pray about what you give. Don't just do it because it's a ritual.
Come on,
do it because it's a burden. But pray about it. excel in it. God led you to prayers. L, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. I remember walking around with my brother Sal Velasco.
Yeah.
In my neighborhood. Praying this prayer. And it just hit me. As I have loved you. And I thought, do I love people like Jesus loved me? And I thought of the people that I was in conflict with at that moment. Jesus took my sin and died on the cross so I could live. Is that my attitude with those I'm in conflict with? Or am I right? Yeah, but I'm right. I'm not loving like Jesus loved.
Come on, bro. Keep it real.
Everyone who goes into strict training, competes in the games, goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Theirs won't last. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body. I make it my slave. So after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the promise.
Wow, come on.
So you do all this for everybody else, and then you're going to go down the tubes because we're not disciplined.
Come on.
In some area of our life. And I pray about discipline. Discipline in what? Well, praising God, loving the Bible, searching my heart for sin, encouraging others, sharing my faith, my contribution, loving. Discipline.
Come on, bro.
This is where it all comes from. We don't have time to go through the rest, but
come on.
Maybe that'll inspire you.
Yeah, it does.
Just
very much so.
How's your prayer life?
Come on,
are you disciplined in your prayer life? Or do you try to go out in one prayer walk and pray about everything you need to pray about? So you come back 3 hours later because you prayed about everything, and someone goes, how was your prayer walk? What did you pray about? You don't even know what you prayed about.
Yeah.
Wow.
Be disciplined in your prayer. It'll change your prayer life, I promise you.
Talk about it, bro.
I promise you. Proverbs 21. Still with me?
Yeah.
Go on, bro.
Okay, Proverbs 21. This is one of my favorite. Discipline that comes from devotion. I remember being on my back porch in East Texas.
Come on, Texas.
Many years ago. It was December. It was Christmas. There were some big changes going on in the ministry. A new leader had come in to lead. And I didn't know who was going to disciple me. What was my role going to be? Everything was changing. And I read this scripture. And I remember looking up at the stars. That big Texas sky. And I prayed this scripture. And I've prayed it many years since. Proverbs 21:1. Those of you that know me, you know the scripture. It's the first one I ever read in Syracuse, New York, when I met a few of you. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a water course wherever he pleases.
Wow. Come on.
What's it about? Well, it's a proverb about irrigation. Because in the Holy Land, in Israel, it's pretty dry. Remember David? I thirst. And so, to get water to anything, you have to dig a ditch to get the water to go where you want it to go. For the cities, they called them aqueducts, the Romans. But you'd dig a ditch, and you'd pour the water in, and it would go right to the part of the land you wanted to water.
Wow.
To grow something.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
Whatever. This proverb says the king's heart, not just anybody, but everybody, even the most mighty in the land, his heart is in God's hands. And God will direct it, just like that water course, wherever he pleases.
Wow.
And I pray, God, make me like that. Dig a ditch and pour me in.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're smart to pray for God to throw you in a ditch, but
yeah.
You know what I've got now. That year, I went back to New York, and a whole lot of things happened that year. Many, many changes. That year, I met Teresa Broom.
Hey.
Of course, she wasn't Teresa Broom. She was Teresa Arijos.
Oh, snap.
She was in the Spanish ministry.
Come on, Teresa.
Predicando, bautizando.
Chris.
I was appointed an evangelist that year.
Wow.
We got married in December of that year. Just celebrated 19 years.
Wow.
I believe God made all those things happen.
Come on, bro.
I had surrendered my heart. Discipline that comes from devotion. I want to encourage you to pray that prayer. It's what we read throughout the book of Acts. When we read about the Holy Spirit sending out churches. Or in John 3, chapter 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear a sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.
Come on.
This is how our God is. And this is the movement that we're a part of. It's like the team that came to San Francisco.
Yeah.
How many of you were on the team that originally came? Raise your hand. Amen! That's pretty awesome! And you've seen some awesome things. I want to commend you for the heroic landing here in the city, by the way.
Come on.
It's been incredible just building a foundation for the church here.
Come on.
It's been awesome. But if we're honest, it's been some trying times, have there not?
Yeah.
It has been a tough year.
Yeah.
It's been tough in the very beginning. Just trying to land in this city and get jobs. Amen, Dave Ferdy. Amen. Dave's starting Home Depot. When?
Tuesday.
It's going to give him something to do until that other job comes around. Amen.
The Home of the Depot.
I know what it is to have time on your hands. You got to be busy. Amen.
Amen.
Remember when you landed here, those of you on the team?
Yeah.
Yep.
What it took to get jobs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know your job.
What it took to find apartments?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when we planted Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, one of my best friends in the world is Brittany's dad, Roger Perlow.
Wow.
Roger is a pretty strong man.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big guy. Could be scary if you're not close to him. Roger is just stalwart, the man of faith.
Yeah.
But going to Chicago was a rough ride for Roger. He got a job. They found a house. You remember that, Anthony? Only to, before he ever got there, not get the right license through and lose the job and lose the house. And have to start all over again.
Dang.
Woo! Roger called me up one day and said, Chris, I'm really humbled. Because this morning I was just mad. I was screaming. I was so mad. Like, why'd you do this, God? We brought our family out here. We did it. Then the phone rang and I got a job and I felt so humbled.
Come
on. Just waited a couple hours on that tantrum. It would have all been better, you know what I mean? And sometimes we just can't wait a couple hours, can we? The pressure gets to us. It's fine.
Talk about it, bro.
How about some of the fallaways that have happened?
Come on.
It's been very challenging.
Yeah.
Very tough. I know it's been tough for Mike. Mm-hmm. I talked to Mike, and these were hard hits. And don't you appreciate Mike and Brittany?
Yeah, we do.
These guys, as the old Schoolhouse Rock song says, they went out of the frying pan and into the fire. Because we brought Mike to Chicago in January to train with me for 6 months, get married. I left town to go to L.A.
Wow.
He then would lead the church with Brittany. And I tell you, the ministry is challenging. It is pressure.
Yeah.
I heard many years ago, the ministry will severely test a great marriage and destroy a bad one.
Wow.
It's pressure.
Yeah.
Imagine those of you that go to work all day and you got that pressure, but then you come home at night and it's a little different. Imagine going to work and all day you work right with your wife or your husband, making hard decisions all day. Then you go home and, oh, it's the same person right there. Now we got to make decisions about dinner and what we're going to do and all that stuff. Have new studies, and it's challenging.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know, it's been hard. I know Mike's went through battles, just sadness, and that it's affected him. If you know Mike, Mike's an up guy.
Yeah.
Mike's a fired up guy.
Yeah.
But when it hurts you deep in your soul, it affects everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there have been challenges. And I talked to Mike. I'm sure you felt some of those same challenges.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I get a witness?
Oh, yeah.
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 Yep. Oh, yeah.
Not about it. Amen,
bro?
Amen.
Laughing, but I
ain't
looking for amen. Amen.
We're with you, bro. Come on.
Amen, bro.
Amen. We have to be honest. You know, what I commend the church here about is your zeal, your fire. Every time I've come up, you guys are fire. You know, I'll bring you greetings from Berkeley. You guys are on fire.
So true.
And San Francisco's a tough city.
Yeah.
I know because I'm in LA. And it's just a spread out and it's far to drive and the traffic and all that good stuff. But now in LA, because we did that, because we spread out, because we drove far, we now have 11 regions
In
Los Angeles.
That's
this
awesome.
Wow, come on.
It will come. The fruit will come, but you got to stick to the course.
That's right.
Yep.
Last year was a tough year, though. We just got to, we're family. We put everything on the table.
Yeah.
All right.
There were only 13 baptisms last year in the San Francisco church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? That's a little over one a month. That's tough.
Yeah.
And so I commend you that you know, you're full of zeal when I see you, because that takes a weight on the faith right there.
Yeah.
So I believe what we got to do right now in the Winter Workshops is, first of all, we've got to clean out our hearts.
Come on, bro.
And I don't just mean sin. Hebrews talks about sin, but he also talks about throw off everything that hinders.
Right now, bro.
And the sin that so easily entangles.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's hindering you tonight?
Talk about it, bro. Come on.
Have you taken some hits and you haven't really talked about it? Or learned the lessons? Because this Winter Workshop is the time. It's time to be open about the hits. To talk with your friends, your brothers, your sisters. And to get healed up so we can throw off whatever's hindering. And we can have, in 2014, an amazing year, an amazingly fruitful year. Not just fruit, but fruit that will last, because the followings hurt. Amen, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe those followings can still come on back.
Yeah.
That's right, bro.
You've got to keep marching forward.
Come on, man.
Come on, Chris.
This is awesome.
If every time God's asked me to go to a different phase in my life, there are challenges.
Mm-hmm.
It was challenging when God asked me. I was baptized in New York City back in 1990.
Wow.
And I was 23 at the time. I'll be 47 next week.
Yay!
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And I remember I just thought Manhattan was the center of the universe. And I remember when God asked me, put me in that water course and asked me to go to Queens.
Queens.
You sure that was meant for me? But there's a discipline that comes from devotion. And I went to Queens. And we spent 3 years in Queens. And it was an amazingly fruitful 3 years.
Come on.
Then the call came in 1999 to go to Syracuse.
You?
I'm like, Syra where? Upstate, there's something up there? Really? And God took us to Syracuse, and it was an amazing 7 years to see the souls that sit in this room, to see the kids that have grown up. Oh my gosh! God works when we surrender to His plan. And then the call to plant Chicago.
Yeah.
That was challenging. We were the first to go plant a church in a city where there was already an ICLC church during the middle of everything. That was challenging.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, I remember my hand shaking when I made the call to the elders there to let them know we're coming.
Wow.
And to ask if we could have a meeting and talk. But they said, well, no, if you're friends with Brother Kip, there'll be no meeting. Amen. Amen. God did amazing things.
Yeah.
Amazing things like Teddy in Chicago.
Yeah. Come on. Come on, Teddy.
Like JL.
Come on, JL.
God did amazing things. And then I remember Kip asking me to move to Los Angeles.
Wow.
Oh, man. It was challenging.
Kid
said, but bro, we've never been in the same city. We need to spend time together to cement a relationship and build that kind of unity. And I said, well, Kip, did you ever think about moving to Chicago?
That's right, bro. That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
And Elena laughed. But Kip didn't laugh. Bro.
Amen.
Oh, you should have been at that dinner.
Uh-oh.
That was a fun one. Because I had crystallized my reasons why it wasn't a good idea. Of course, it was all my lack of faith. What would happen to my mother-in-law, who was a disciple, if we left? Oh, she just went on to do great and be fruitful and now move and be in the Orlando church.
Wow.
But what was my fear? Oh, she might fall away. Fear and faith are two different things.
That's right, bro. Come on.
You know, they're surrounded right now by great people. They're not disciples yet, but they're surrounded by great disciples. Oh, we move, we land. The day after we land, Austin said he's a Bible. Within a month, he's baptized.
Wow.
But I had a good reason. And if I'm honest, the third one was about me. I'd been out leading churches for 12 years. I'd built something. What would it be like to start all over? And to go and not lead the church? It was a different level. Oh my gosh, the last 2.5 years in LA have been absolutely fantastic. I've learned so much. And God has not taken away relationships, but given me so many more. And the chance to be there with Kip and Elena and support them in building the LA church and sending these churches out has been amazing.
Come on.
And now God's called me again. This summer, God willing, Teresa and I will be moving back to that place I never ever wanted to leave in the first place.
Come on.
Manhattan.
Yeah.
And it's a daunting task.
Yeah.
I live in Irvine, California. I basically live on a resort. There are no homeless people in Irvine. Because if they see them walking, the police say, go back to L.A. It's the safest city in America. Go get it. And my kids are bored out of their minds. They're like, get me out of the suburb. And that's their heart. But it's easy living where I am right now. Manhattan's not easy living. But you know what Manhattan is? It's full of incredible souls.
Come on, bro.
In fact, it's where God saved my soul.
Come on.
Talk about it.
And so I'm ready to climb the mountain.
Come on, Chris.
But I don't want to climb alone. In the same way that Kip asked Teresa and I to move to L.A. and build with them and support him, I want to let you know that Teresa and I have asked Mike and Brittany to move and be with us in New York.
Come on.
To help us build an L.A. on the West, on the East Coast, and try to save that entire part of the country.
Talk about it, bro.
Now, if I'm honest, and I think we should be as disciples, I think it would be really good for Mike and Brittany.
Yeah.
We threw them out here really quickly with a very young marriage out on the mission field all alone. And they've taken some hits. It's been a challenge. We love them with all our heart, and we would treasure the opportunity to be with them and to work together and to see them grow and build and learn all the lessons that I, knucklehead, had to learn in my marriage. Because they're amazing, and they're going to do great things for the kingdom.
Come on.
That's right.
But I need a Silas. I've got a number of Timothys. I need a Silas. I need a fellow prophet that can go out there to that incredible city and help you build.
Come on, bro.
Awesome. But we also want to see San Francisco crank.
Yeah. That's right, bro.
And so, after much prayer, praying to the Holy Spirit, a lot of conversations, I get to announce to you tonight that we have chosen not just somebody, but a brother that's leading at the moment the fastest growing church in our movement.
Yeah. Come on.
Jason and Sarah Dimitri are going to be bringing a team with them. And 10 people will be moving here to San Francisco to strengthen and help take over the world. Jason was Mike's number one choice. Jason's like a brother to Mike.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if it was the right choice. But we prayed a lot about it, we talked, and then last Sunday, after the conference ended, I met with Jason. Why did I meet with Jason? Because Teresa and I are moving to the East Coast, we, unfortunately, and sad for us, aren't going to be discipling Ricky and Colleen Chandler anymore, because they're here in Portland. And so, sadly, we were handing them over to be discipled by Jason and Sarah.
Come on.
So I met with Jason to talk about that. And Jason said, bro, you know my dream, don't you? I said, what's your dream? He said, San Francisco.
Come on.
I said, well, bro, you just need to keep praying and praying Vegas. We'll see what God does. He goes, I just want you to know, bro, it's always been my dream.
Wow.
I said, you talk to Mike. Yeah. I said, well, bro, I believe in you, and we're praying. We've got a couple of people we're praying about, but just pray, God will take care of it. So Jason goes back to Vegas. The next morning, we met with the central leadership Monday morning, and we all talked about it, and sure enough, we all felt great and decided it would be Jason. So he got the phone call, and you know what he said? He said, bro, I prayed this morning. Thank you, God, that I've already received. In every transition of ministry, there's a tear.
Yeah.
If there's a sadness. If there's not, we got a problem.
Yeah.
And I know because of the love in this room, there'll be a tear.
Yeah.
But I want you to know you're getting incredible disciples in Jason and Sarah. Jason knows what it's like to have kids, to have teens. They're going to be super sensitive to that. And they're bringing a great team with them.
Yep.
And I can't tell you the whole team, but I do know there's one, David Jefferson, that I thought Levi would be fired up.
Come on!
Yes!
I got one question. What is your dream? What is your dream that you pray? Thank you, God, that you already answered it. Like his brother shared earlier this evening. For some of us, it can become a nightmare.
Wow.
Talk about it. What am I talking about? Last Tuesday morning, I got the staff, and I had a talk with Luke Speckman. Luke leads the Ventura region. The night before, his 2-year-old daughter had fallen and gone unconscious. And he got a phone call. The nightmare you don't want to get. Your daughter's laying on the ground. She's acting like she can't move her body. He said, call 911. They were out with Raja and Debs, who lead our church in Chennai, India. On the drive, Raja started praying. He said, God, thank you in advance that you've already taken care of Luke's little girl. Thank you in advance that she is going to be fine. Long story short, they got there. Raja said, Luke, put your finger in her hand. See if she can squeeze it. He put his finger in her hand, and she squeezed it.
Oh,
Raja said, Luke, tickle her toes. See if she can. She tickled. She moved her toes. She's fine.
Amen.
She was at staff Tuesday morning looking as beautiful as ever.
Wow.
But Luke shared this. And he shared how incredible it was when Raja was so faithful and prayed in advance, believing he would receive. And it just soothed his soul. And, you know, funny enough, Luke had been praying for his older daughter, who's not a disciple yet. And she's the one that saw his little two-year-old, and it shocked her when it happened. And he said, I think God's working just to show her how fragile life is. Wow. And then she needs to wake up and study the Bible. God's working, guys. Just like Hebrews 12 says, he's disciplining us. And he says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And what? Run with perseverance the race marked out for you.
Come on.
Have you embraced your race?
Come on.
Going into 2014, only God knows the twists and turns that he's got for you. But have you embraced it? And are you praying? Like we're told to in Ephesians 6. Put on the full armor of God and pray in the Spirit. On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers. You know, the apostles' schedule consisted of what? Prayer and the ministry of the word.
Yep.
But what came first?
Prayer.
Prayer came before the ministry of the word. I've got one last quote for you on prayer. And then we're going to end our night on our knees. And Mike's going to guide us as we pray. And I've printed up a bunch of these, or I've asked Mike to for you. We're going to pray for all of our churches in the movement, all our remnant groups, and those cities that have been targeted for the crown of thorns. It's just two pages. But we're going to pray for every single one of our fellow churches.
Come on.
Samuel Chadwick said this. The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying.
Wow.
He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. God bless you.
Amen.
All the way from the Penske truck challenge.
Oh, yeah.
As we packed 19 people into one Penske truck, all the belongings, and then all drove across the nation to get here. And it's been an honor being here. I think leaving Chicago, there's always been a special bond with the people who were in Chicago under Brittany and I's leadership. And now whenever we see them, there's that tight, close relationship. I know with San Francisco, we'll share the same thing as Brittany and I leave this summer. But that's in 6 months
from now.
That's
right.
Amen?
Amen.
And I'm not going out, you know, in this dark night with no bang and adventure finally to end it in San Francisco as we're here. And my goal is this next 6 months is going to be the funnest, most fruitful, most faithful, and most honoring of God that we've ever had in San Francisco.
Amen.
I hope you're with me on that.
Come on.
At least it's going to be for me. And I hope you want to join me on that one. Amen. But I think, you know, as we're leaving, it was hard. Chris told us at the GLC, and I figured it out on the bus ride down, and it was one of the hardest bus rides of my life, knowing we'd be leaving San Francisco. Just the dreams, the visions that we have for this church. And as we leave, those visions don't die.
No.
We still have those visions for the church.
Right.
I think, I love San Francisco so much, I'm fired up that Jason's coming to lead us.
Come on, Mike.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I'm so fired up that I've known him since I was 16 years old.
Come on.
And we have an interesting relationship. But anyway, his daughters are my nieces, but he's not married to my sister, basically. Go figure that one.
Only in the kingdom.
Only in the kingdom. Amen. But he's an amazing, amazing man.
Yeah.
I'm inspired and convicted by him. Fired up that he's bringing so many incredible people out to San Francisco. And, you know, for me, I just want to make sure that we get so much momentum that then when they come out here, they're challenged by our faith.
Come on.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That when they get out here, they're like, man, I thought I was a fired up disciple. I thought I was working hard. These guys are on fire.
Come on, my man.
Come on.
And so where we can inspire them is they join the church.
Yeah.
Rather than if they come and start saying, are these guys really disciples?
Yeah.
Far be it from God that they say that about the San Francisco church. Amen,
right.
Guys?
Amen.
So I want them to be inspired, fired up, and I'm giving it my all till the very end here
in
San Francisco. But I'm also extremely humbled that Chris and Teresa would want us to be their partners in New York City. I don't deserve that, and even Chris has had his difficulties with me, so I don't even know. You could call me a Silas. More like a, I don't know, Simon or something like that. But I think it's an honor, and I'm just so encouraged to have you as my family. I'll never, ever, ever forget in these 2 years in San Francisco.
Come on, bro.
It's changed me as a man.
Come on.
It's changed my outlook on life. And I know for all of us, we've all changed as well.
Yeah.
We're all different people after playing this church. Amen?
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Chris did an awesome job. If we just put prayer as our focus for the honor of God, this is going to be an awesome year. Amen? Let's give it up for Chris.